And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Trisha and Eric. Joseph had to leave for some undisclosed location somewhere in the Phoenix area.
Actually, it was very disclosed. He's going to watch a screening that's being held shortly that he needs to be at to review a show for next week.
That's right, at Desert Ridge. Mm-hmm. Oh,
Kung Fu Panda 2.
I hope they deliver Panda Express as you're watching Kung Fu Panda.
And now we have some more talent.
Some more talent, incredible talent. You and I were in Las Vegas at the Golden Nugget in November of last year, just a few months ago, and we saw the most incredible show with the most incredible talent, the most incredible musicians, and we're talking about, of course, from the Gordy Brown Show, the musical director, Stephen Swinford. Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great, and thank you so much for calling in.
And
do we have Stacy on the phone as well?
Yes, I believe we do.
Hey, Stacy, how are you?
Hey there, good. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Thank you so much. Anyway, we had such a great time at that show, Gordy Brown Show, and we got to go backstage, and the dressing room is really delightful, speaking to you, Stephen, as well as Gordy.
It was
just a lot of fun backstage.
Yeah, he's a great entertainer, eh?
Oh, man, incredible. But you're a great musician, and
well,
put that on as a musical director is no easy task, I'm sure.
It's
tons of, well, talk about that a little bit. Is your role with the Gordy Brown Show, and he's been, to me, that's the best show on in Las Vegas.
Oh,
by the way.
I agree. He's probably the most genius entertainer and comedian.
Oh yeah,
is. I was a big fan of Rich Little growing up, and he mentored with Rich Little. In fact, did shows with him.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's fitting that I be his musical director. I just have a blast.
Oh, yeah. It's a fun show. I saw you guys. You guys are all laughing up on stage playing your instruments.
Yeah. Well, we laugh. You know, we get a lot of comments about we're laughing, even though I've seen the show for 15 years. I've been with him for 15 years because he keeps changing it up.
Oh, wow.
There are lots of people that come over and over to the show because he's always doing something new, and he's got ADD, and he's a brilliant. So you know, he just flies with whatever comes to his head. So it makes for an interesting and a hilarious show.
So what does it take for you to be the musical director? Is it? I mean, you've been there. You said with them 15 years. Is it a little bit easier now, or do you always have to really pay a lot of attention and tweak things? And
well, it's a little easier in that I know Gordy well, and we're best friends, and I can sometimes read his mind. But yes, it is challenging in that he's going here and there, and the show's never the same. You know, you can't set your watch to a Bill Cosby impression. You know,
right.
He's always changing something, so nothing's in an order. So it actually makes it exhilarating.
Especially fun, Bill Cosby these days.
yeah.
Nothing is quite the same as it used to be, perhaps.
No, and his impressions change because of that as well. So,
sure.
Yeah, he keeps on top of the current events.
Oh, yeah.
It's really fun.
Well, you know, I was amazed that I had not really heard a lot of you know, press and things about Gordy Brown's show. And so when we went, I didn't know that much about him or the style of the show. And I was blown away because he mixes genres, he mixes generations, and it just all works. And I just think that has got to be a huge challenge for you as a musical director, a guitarist, you know, does he actually settle on what songs he's going to do in advance, or do you guys sometimes have to wing that on the fly?
Yeah, sometimes we wing that on the fly. I mean, some things are set in stone and some things aren't. You know, he'll come up with a great idea like before the show, and he says he wants to do this, and we'll go over the arrangement like on the fly. It's actually challenging in that regard, but they're all ace musicians in the show, so we somehow pull it off. I don't know how we do it, but but actually Gordy's really cool about everything, I mean, that we do that's on the cuff, so he's very forgiving And it turns out to be a great show always.
Well, and you have a music production company right there in Vegas.
Yes, I do.
So as I was reading some of the information with regards to what you offer there, you know, it's like you've got a great selection of music, but you can also create music upon request with a quick turnaround time. And I'm sitting here thinking this probably... which came first, the chicken or the egg, right? It's like, did this grow out of your time with Gordy where it's like we have to be able to come up with something on the fly here where,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I've been a musician since I was 9 years old. Did my first record when I was 9 years old.
Amazing.
So playing stuff on the fly comes easy for me. It's a natural for me. I don't have to read music to play a song. But I was a musician and a production company before Gordy. So
okay.
Oh,
excellent.
Wow! And
so that makes it easy.
Yeah.
Easier.
And Stacy, so you're the creative director in charge of the, what, music licensing and publishing at Swinford Music Productions. But you're quite a musician yourself, right?
I am. Thank you. Yes, I do all the pitching to projects and stuff of our catalog music, instrumental stuff and whatnot.
And I want to thank you. You did send over some songs earlier, and I heard them, and they are good. Was that you? Let's see, Lady Avalon, Naughty Pine, and Habana Real. Was that you and Steven, or who?
Yeah, it's both of us.
Yeah,
why?
The Lady Avalon is from my CD, and then the other two are from Steven's, two of his instrumentals, Tobacco Land and Steven's Song.
Well, I'll tell you, all three were excellent.
Thank you.
Very, very good. I suggest everyone get on your website, of course, and look at some of the things that you're doing. But, they're all excellent. There was something about that instrumental Habana Reel that really was great. I just really loved it. I loved both of the songs. I mean, all three of them, but there was something about Habana Reel. Talk about that one.
It's just a thing. One of my biggest mentors was Earl Klugh. And so I write kind of like him. But then I'll go off into different genres because I'm an expert at writing for all different genres. And so I get inspired. And so that was a time in my life where I got real inspired. In fact, it was only 2 years ago, I think, to write kind of a Latin feel stuff. So
yeah.
My neighbor, he lives about a mile away, plays for Santana now, Pepe Jimenez.
Oh, yeah.
And he did the percussion on that. And I think that's one of the reasons why it makes it so special.
Very cool.
He's a master percussionist.
So, Stephen, that's your one of your favorites too, Habana Reel?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was something. Now, Lady Avalon, that was Stacy, you singing that, right?
Yes.
You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
Oh, it was good. Did you write that as well?
I did.
Oh.
Yes, I did.
So, talk a little bit about that, how that part of your career is going. So, you write, and you have a lot of CDs, and... or maybe give us a little history of when you started writing music.
I've been writing since I was 18. I've always wanted to be in the music business, but I actually was on my way to Nashville and my car broke down in Kingman, Arizona, and I was stuck there
for
2 weeks.
Kingman, Arizona. I know where that is. We're in Phoenix.
So I had nothing to do but learn the guitar that my mom sent with me. So I didn't get to Nashville, but I did learn how to play the guitar, and I started songwriting and sort of... went from there and eventually moved to Reno and met Steven, actually.
Oh.
And he was my producer, and then, you know, the rest is history, so.
Wow. When was this? How long ago?
This was in 2000 that I moved to Reno, and we met. We met, actually, at a Lacey J. Dalton concert.
Neat. She's good. I like her. Yeah.
Yes. She's a good friend of ours. She's awesome.
Oh.
Great person. So, yeah, I met him through her, and then... We were up there for a few years and working with Gordy when he was up there, and then moved down here when the show moved down here. So
let me ask you this. Was it love at first sight?
Actually, we were really good friends for a while before we realized that it was more than that. So,
well, that's good. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. We definitely liked each other, but it was just a good friendship before that. So
wow.
Well, that's the best way to have a long-lasting I think, relationship is to be friends first. But
absolutely,
you guys really have some shared background in that you both started out pretty young. You both have a real passion for this. And I mean, I agree with Dave, the Havana instrumental. I loved it. Of course, I've always had a real vibe for the Latino percussion and that feel and that verve. But I agree with you also that when there's a different time, depending on what you're thinking and what you're feeling, there's a different time for each one of the genres. There's some times where I really just want to listen to rap or hip hop or something like that.
I'm the same way.
You know, I mean, it's funny. Music can influence our thoughts and feelings, and yet sometimes our thoughts and feelings influence our choice in music. And
sure,
I think that's kind of also why I really liked Gordy's show, was the fact that it just kind of hits all of those. And I think to a certain extent, we're all a little bit ADD when it comes to comes to music. But your voice, Stacey, is just, it's a beautiful voice, and mixed with the acoustics and then the lyrics and how you can weave a story, you know, which we always kind of expect a little bit from like country music. And I know that, you know, Nashville was your goal. And that was also for you, Stephen. I think both of you kind of, I mean, you were nominated for Country Music, Academy of Country Music, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, as one of the best guitar players and everything. So did that shared love for that genre play a role as well?
I think it was a big part of it. At the time we met, I was producing Lacey J. Dalton and in her band as well. So that's probably had a big.
Oh, you were.
Yeah, it was a good fit. Yeah.
Oh, Stephen, you were producing her stuff.
Uh huh. I did a Wild Horse Crossing CD. It was a benefit to help the wild horses in Nevada.
Oh, wow.
And then I did another one.
Here's the Hank.
Yeah. Hank tribute. Season.
Sure. So. Wow. You know, I tell you, I'm from L.A., but my favorite music, believe it or not, is country western. Every night I put on our cable TV and I play the country western classics, the stuff from the old days, and often I hear Lacey J. Dalton and my favorite song, 16th Avenue.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, my gosh, that is a
favorite.
Good song. Oh, that is fantastic.
I think she got a BMI award for that.
Did she? Oh, incredible. And of course,
and rightfully so.
Hank Williams Jr. and his dad. I mean, of course, Hank Williams Jr. has done phenomenal.
Yeah.
Boy, some of his songs. There's so many. Have you met, have you worked with many of the the great legends, in country western?
Yeah, I have. I've worked with, I don't know if you call them legends. Depends on where you're coming from, I guess. But
yeah.
I worked with Johnny Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I love Johnny Lee.
For a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I just heard this morning on the cable, Prisoner of Hope.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
Was it Hope or Love? Prisoner.
Yeah, people didn't realize when we were doing touring that how many hits he actually had.
Oh, phenomenal.
Not number one hits, but he had a huge amount of radio played hits. So,
yeah, great. Who else have you worked with in the?
Well, I worked briefly with the Gatlin Brothers.
Oh yeah.
Worked on stage opposite Oak Ridge Boys.
Sure.
A few times on stage with Lacey and
Alabama.
I never worked with them. I was at an award show with them.
Cool.
At Knott's Berry Farm. It's a long story. I didn't vote for him because I wasn't a big fan at the time.
But, right.
I was a big fan of Ricky Skaggs at the time.
Oh,
I got
to
meet him.
Yeah. George Jones?
George Jones, no. I don't remember if I ever played. I played with so many artists over the years. Like, you know, maybe for one show. I did a Freddie Fender show once.
Oh, really?
It was one of those things where he didn't give us any material ahead of time, so we had to try to remember his hits.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding me. That's got
to
be tough.
We're in his limo on the way to the gig going over arrangements.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Pretty funny.
Well, and Stacey, it looks like you actually were a co-writer for Lacey J. Dalton's When Your Ship Comes In.
Yes. Actually, that was... That was a play that we wrote.
It was a play. Okay.
Yeah, it was a play, and we haven't really, never really did anything with it, just sort of a fun kind of, creative thing that we started. We haven't really done any more with it, but it was based on a poem that I wrote, it just a little play that we've put together, and haven't really done anything with it yet, but maybe someday.
I love that title, because it just seems kind of like, you know, when people think of When Your Ship Comes In, it thinks like it's something passive, but
right.
I see it as something that you actually, it's an action, because you have to put yourself in the right place at the right time and work hard in order to receive that result. So it'll be interesting to hear more about that, because when I saw that, that just caught my eye. When Your Ship Comes In, I was like, oh, that sounds cool.
So in Las Vegas, you have a full production audio recording studio, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so how's that going? I mean, you do recording, you're mixing, you're mastering, you're doing a bunch of stuff. Are you mentoring a lot of upcoming stars, or how does it work?
Well, I produce, and I don't approach anyone to produce. If they come to me and they ask me to produce their project, we can talk about it. But mostly now, right at this second, I'm writing and composing and producing for film and television.
Oh, neat.
For publishers.
Oh, wow.
But and I also do my own projects in Stacy's. But I do things. There's one kid, I don't remember his full name because I just met him through a friend. So I don't have any contact with him, but he's a up-and-coming artist. He's a genius. He's like 14.
Oh,
so
my
gosh. I'm helping
gosh.
Him. I'm mentoring him a little bit and producing stuff for free just to help him out.
Oh, that's nice. That is.
We have a few clients that come back to us, too. Richard Aloyan is one of them. He's a Western Western artist. You might want to check him out since you like country.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
really, really good.
Yeah.
Return kind of, you know, clients.
Oh, yeah, which is important and which shows great credibility on your part. And now, I don't know how it seems like you're both really busy. How do you fit in your schedule like this? Because I know, Stephen, Gordy, you guys perform what? Is it
five nights a week?
Five.
Yeah, so that takes up a bunch of time. So I know your passion for music has to really carry the day.
Yeah, it really does. It's been my thing since I was a kid, like I said. And I don't know much of anything else. So.
Yeah, but you give wonder. I mean, just imagine how rewarding that is to provide what I would call state changes, meaning to your audiences, to create really another world for people to enjoy, to feel good, to relax, to just really. It seems so healthy. And that's got to be one of the best things. I mean, sure, you get paid, but to do something beyond that, to create a path for others is phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely. Going to work every day is a joy for me. I don't work. I haven't worked for years, but I just enjoy what I do. And I do the same thing when I write, actually. I like to take people somewhere with music. It's not just a song with some notes in it. I like to take some people. I'm a big fan of Mozart. Like I said, and Henry Mancini was
phenomenal
influence of me. So that's where I come from when I write too. I just love to go somewhere else. I must have ADD too.
Oh, there you go.
That's one thing I love about what's going on in the industry now, at least from an outsider's point of view, and that is how the lines are being very, very blurred between the genres. I mean, you know, like with Stacy right now, it's like that country pop type thing. You got, you know, Taylor Swift doing this. You got, you know, and we were just speaking about Lady Gaga, who's you know, went from music to acting, but she didn't really go from one to the other. She loved both, and they just came about at different times, you know. And so I love this blurring that's taking place, because I think all too often you'll get, you know, with radio stations that I know, you know, now people have their MP3s and they have the different things, but even on our XM radio, you know, they have a certain era or they have a certain genre. Yeah. And I just love that mix, because it just brings out different things in you. And it seems like something that when it's your passion, like it is for you guys, you know, you don't go to work. You're doing what you love and being able to make a living at it.
Yeah,
it it's a, quite a blessing, actually. I'm thankful every time I wake up in the morning that I get to do what I do.
Yeah, that's so important. Now, believe it or not, when I was younger, and I can't remember because I don't have my calculator, but however, when I was younger, my teen years, I started playing guitar, love guitar. I actually started teaching guitar at a studio, but I wasn't as good as the studio musicians, but I got along with people. So part of teaching is, can you relate? Can you teach? You don't need a black belt to teach, karate newcomers.
Yeah. So you know what? I admire you for that because I could never teach. I tried it, but I just didn't have the patience for it. I don't know if it was patience, but it was just another world. I mean, I don't think in terms of learning.
Gotcha.
I came upon it very naturally, and so it's hard to teach somebody when I
learn. Sure, no, and I understand that, but I'll tell you, I would trade you in a minute because I love teaching, but I just couldn't. Maybe I needed more practice time or something. I don't know, but I so admire the studio musicians. They just, it's like intuitive. It's like you get in this zone and you just know, right? Can you describe that feeling?
Well, I can try. It's actually a focus thing. When I start recording, I play differently than when I'm just practicing or learning a tune. When I'm in the studio and there's a mic on my guitar, it's a focus. I go into this zone, and it's that exactly what you said. And it's quite euphoric, actually.
Well, it is. And I mean, I could relate to that part because I wrote a lot of songs when I was a teenager and maybe really early 20s. I was going to college. I ended up actually a CPA and, surprise, surprise, a broadcaster. How did that happen? Who knows? But the thing is, so
just
I'm
a little ADD.
You're great at it.
Yeah. So thank you. But CPA and a broadcaster type. But one thing I remember, and I haven't played guitar in a long time. But one thing I remember, when I wrote songs, it was healing because I wrote on current things that were happening in my life, and it was also soothing. Is that how you feel too?
I feel that way when I write instrumentals, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the lyrics part comes from Stacy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I don't write words. I don't know how to put anything to words. In fact, this interview is quite difficult. No, I'm kidding.
You're doing great. Are you kidding? You guys are awesome. We want to have you on again for sure. You're doing very well.
Well, and I'm sitting here looking at all of the services that you offer at your studio. I mean, you can record complete full instrument, productions. You got simple productions, mixing, mastering, guitar tracks. It looks like the instruments that you have, and I love this because I love many different forms of music, as you know. But the steel guitar, and the slide guitar, those are things that I used to think of Hawaiian music because that's where I was exposed more to them. And I know Dave, it was more country western. But you've got the mandolin, which, ooh, I think is a really cool instrument. Is it just me that I'm just now becoming aware of some of these things? Has that been a standard, or is this something relatively new?
Well, it has been a standard in bluegrass music.
Okay.
And it could be that most people are getting aware of stuff like that.
Thanks to Mumford & Sons, people like that.
Oh. Absolutely. And dobro as well, used quite a bit.
Wow.
In different ways, not just the slide. You can play a dobro like a guitar as well.
Oh, that is cool. Now, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Stephen Swinford and his wife, Stacy Swinford. Great songwriters, composers, musicians.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And Stephen, of course, a musical director for the great, and I mean great, Gordy Brown Show at the Golden Nugget.
Oh, must see for everybody.
Oh,
I'm
my
sorry.
Gosh.
If you're going to Vegas, you got to go to the Golden Nugget.
In fact,
Nugget
I miss
it.
I want to go back and see it. I just had so much fun. It was so cool. So tell us, what does the future look like for both of you? Any plans coming up in terms of your careers or anything else?
Well, of course, the future looks extremely bright for Gordy. But as far as our music business goes, I'm doing a CD right now. I've had CDs on the ballot for the Grammys a few years in a row.
Oh, nice.
And Stacey has as well. But
excellent.
I just did a CD called Ode to Joy, a Christmas CD.
Yeah, I mm-hmm. saw that on your website, actually.
Yeah, I did. That's my first one I did it by myself. I did my first Christmas CD on pedal steel for a label back in the 90s. But But this one I was very proud of. It took a year to do, but I'm just, you know, I'm down with Christmas music.
Yeah.
Oh, well, when you've had that kind of a focus on it. Now,
sure.
and that's a fully instrumental one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, now that for me, when I'm entertaining, even when I'm, you know, doing other things, having that to just in the background is awesome.
Sure. Yeah. It's very soothing.
Oh, it really is.
But,
I
just started my another CD, instrumental CD. It's more like Steven's song, just instrumental stuff that I want to do. You know, I write so much for film and television that sometimes I don't get to do what I want.
Gotcha.
So I'm going back to doing another CD of just what I want, you know.
Wow.
And that's fun.
That would be fun. And Stacy, how about you? What's going on in your future?
I've been thinking about doing another CD. I'm contemplating. I always do this event. It's an online event called February Album Writing Month, and it's just a fun online group thing where you try to write like 14 songs in the month of February. So I'll probably do that and see what comes about from there. And,
oh, cool.
And just continue pitching our music to publishers and film and television projects and whatnot. So
now when you do that, when you pitch it or you're requested by TV, film, movies, whatever, how does that work? Do they give you like, hey, we want it to sound like this? Or do you say, hey, this is how you probably want it to sound? Or do you, as a collaboration of both?
Well, it's if we call a call out, if we're asked to write a specific song or Stephen is asked to do something specific, they generally will say, here's what we need. This is the style or the feel. And a lot of times they'll send a track that they want to, you know, in the style of this track. Mm. A lot of times it's spot on, and a lot of times it's really nothing to do with what they're, you know, what they're describing that they want. So you kind of have to read between the lines,
right?
And, you know, just sort of use your intuition and go from there. But usually we work with the publishers, and they'll ask us for specific music if they need something for a project. Otherwise, we'll just send them songs that they put into their catalog to pitch later. So we partner with a lot of publishers.
Oh, interesting.
Well, it was kind of funny when I was looking at some of the credits that you guys have. It's like, you know, you've got the Discovery Channel, Hogs Gone Wild, and then you've got like the Desert Car Kings on the Discovery Channel. Then you got 16 and Pregnant on MTV. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm hearing completely disparate, you know, versions of tracks. The Byron Allen Show, Living It Up with Patti LaBelle. I mean, the Thomas Jefferson Hour, you know. It's like, wow, this is
You never know where
really
the music's going to be used. We do the same thing, you know. We were watching a episode of Alaska, The Last Frontier, and heard one of Stephen's songs just out of the blue, and it was really cool.
Yeah,
you know?
Duck Dynasty as well. That
was really?
Weird.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That really? So it was on Duck Dynasty. That's funny because Ted, I just popped in my head. I heard Ted Cruz talk about he was invited to go hunting with the Duck Dynasty crew. So,
well, I think that was more of an attempt at trying to be cool.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and you're going to have to grow a beard.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think he will until he not in.
It might be fun to draw one on him and see how it looks.
I'd love to hear what Donald Trump would say about that. Like
so much for the clean cut look.
Yeah, you know it's funny. Alaska, The Last Frontier. I watched that. I find it interesting actually.
That's our favorite.
Yeah, we love
that. We were on a cruise about a year ago, I think, to Alaska. Roughly.
Yeah.
And we met people. It was at Skagway, I think.
Yeah.
One of the cities,
they actually live at the base.
No, he works at the military base, but they live hundreds of miles.
But at the base of the mountain.
Oh, the mountain. Yeah. And so they were actually saying, yeah, we're like that. We're the last frontier. And it's like, how do you do it? It's like, it's amazing. They go, well, you know, they go out and hunt, and if they don't catch anything they don't eat.
Well, she was she was actually born and raised there.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much adopted that lifestyle. So when they met, it just worked out perfectly for them.
Even though their age difference was, what, about 29 years?
I asked if she had a sister. Yeah, he's like over 20 years. No. Yeah, I know you did.
But anyway, but no, he was a little bit older. But it was really cool. They describing how it is to live there. And it's exactly like the series. So you watched that too, huh?
Yeah, we're a big fan.
Oh, it is really, really cool.
Great
stuff. So now getting back a little bit to the Gordy Brown Show. So they travel too. It's not just they go to other cities?
Oh, yeah. We do shows everywhere. We do corporates. It could be anywhere in the world. But lately we've been doing all the Golden Nugget properties. I think Tillman Fertitta owns, I think, 5 of them now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, next week we're going to Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Nice.
His newest,
so
biggest
Nugget
property.
There.
It's beautiful.
Oh my
Lord. What a great place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we actually were talking about when we were there in Vegas and we were looking at all the different properties that Golden Nugget has. We were talking about, like, taking a... going to a different one each weekend.
Yeah.
And checking
that would
them out.
Be fun. Yeah, absolutely. So Atlantic City, Biloxi.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
So they're all over. Yeah, it's a great hotel.
Maybe we'll have to get together with Gordy and Steven and figure out when they're going to be at some of them and do multitasking.
There we go.
We'll be there next weekend.
Okay, Lake Charles, right?
Yep,
okay,
Friday,
hey,
Saturday,
maybe we can work it out. But, next weekend's a birthday party.
Oh.
Oops.
Yeah, there goes that.
Yeah,
you go to the party. I'm going with Steven and Gordon.
Honey, it's our daughter. You can't really miss that.
I could, and I will. No, I'm kidding. All right, I won't miss the party.
Oh, but no, you guys, I'll tell you, that was one thing. You know, there's an age difference between Dave and I. So when we go to different shows and you know, comedy events and things like that, there are certain jokes and things that I will get that he won't get, and vice versa. And
I get the jokes from the 1800s.
Yeah.
And with our music, you know, I have never been a huge country western listener, but I like the crossovers like Stacy, where it's got that little bit of pop and in it. And so I've become a larger fan because of that. But I will definitely say that when I'm hearing Gordy, you know, doing Eminem and, you know, just kind of these
and Johnny Cash
and right, and he'll just turn right around from one
Bob
to the other
Dylan,
to yeah, and
Sinatra,
then he's doing Elvis
MC
Presley,
Hammer,
and then he's doing Frank Sinatra,
Dean Martin.
You know, I mean, he's just going all over the place.
Oh, you forgot Ozzy Osbourne?
No, I mean honey.
I know, just kidding.
Let's put it this way:
if I needed
to mention every single person that he impersonates,
I remember I said Neil Young, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah,
Vanilla
you're not
Ice.
Remembering; you're reading off your computer.
Oh.
Ice baby. No, but I'm just saying that it is so just boom, 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 hitting from every direction.
Phenomenal.
And keep, but still has that wonderful strand that carries it through and connects it all into this phenomenal tapestry of music and comedy. And you guys, phenomenal show. And I just, like I said, I don't know why I hadn't heard of it being promoted as much as I feel it should be.
Yeah, well,
but phenomenal talent and boy, getting off the strip and just enjoying time over there. The Golden Nugget was a phenomenal
great
facility,
hotel. Yeah.
Great hotel, and the show couldn't have been better. And you guys and your hospitality, fantastic. And you know I'm an Elvis fan, so I noticed his ring right off. I was like, wait!
Actually Elvis's ring.
Yes, I know. And he showed afterwards when told me about it and told me the story behind it. It had even more meaning for me.
So
just incredible.
Very incredible.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And thank you so much for being on our show today, Breakthrough Entertainment. And of course, Stephen and Stacy Swinford. Let me give your website out. It's swinfordmusic.com, right?
Yes. Yep.
So that's S-W-I-N, Swin, and then Ford, F-O-R-D, music.com. Get over, everyone, check this website out. It's a really very pretty website and very very easy to read, and it shows exactly what you do. And I think everyone would really enjoy being on this website. And
appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. And good luck to you. And we'd love to have you on again and, you know, keep in touch. And
sure.
Let us know where you're going to be, when you're going to be there, and we might just pop in.
Yeah, we'll.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate the
thank
time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. And we'll see you soon.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, of course, that's Stephen and Stacy Swenford. Great musicians, and truly, you know, Stephen, the musical director of the Gordy Brown Show in Las Vegas at the Golden Nugget, you got to check that out. That's truly one of the funniest, most entertaining shows in Las Vegas. And we've seen a lot of shows, and there's a lot of great shows, but he's talent plus. And
Definitely.
So we're going to go on a break right now. And again, thank you to Stephen and Stacy Swenford, great musicians. And when we come back, we'll have more Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.